court will proceed to the sixth case today, the United States versus Phillips. Mr. Messiah.
Your Honors, good morning. There are two main issues in this court, Your Honors. Those issues are whether or not the government should be allowed to keep property that they have not filed an indictment for. Ms. Phillips is indicted for $47,987.47. Yet, the government wants to keep $326,646.77 worth of her property. With respect to that issue, I will be presenting six arguments. The second issue is whether or not the government should be allowed to keep property belonging to Ms. Phillips' husband, who is a non-party to the suit. He has not been indicted. The court has no jurisdiction over him. My first argument, Your Honors, is that under the Fifth Amendment, we know that we get an indictment, a presentment. Well, in lower courts, we have probable cause hearings. The purpose is to put us on notice as to what we're being charged for. In this case, the original indictment and the superseding indictment charged Ms. Phillips with $47,000 worth of fraudulent money and counts 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. They total $47,000 exactly. 47,987.47, 1 through 5. The superseding indictment has the exact same charges. The difference between the superseding indictment and the original indictment is that in the original indictment, Ms. Phillips was charged with violating 18 U.S.C. 2, 982, and 1347. Whereas in the superseding indictment, she's charged with violating 18 U.S.C. 2 and 1347. Meaning that the difference between the two indictments is that the government does not have a forfeiture provision in the superseding indictment. So without a forfeiture provision, they should not be allowed to keep property that they have not put one on notice of, including the fact that in the designation sheet for criminal proceedings, they reflect, both of them, the one for the original indictment reflects USC 18 USC 982, 2, and 1347. But in the superseding indictment, in the designation sheet, which reflects it, there is no provision for forfeiture. 982 is not there.
Where is there a reference made to the $1,165,000 where is that reference?
That's on page 10, Your Honor, of the original indictment and the superseding indictment. The difference is in the original indictment, It is in the paragraph 3, whereas in the superseding indictment, it's 3A. But it's the same. And since you asked that question, Your Honor, what that says is that in addition to the funds that the government have kept, the monies, add another $1,165,873. Therefore, under that argument, my first argument, there's no forfeiture provision. There should be no allowance for the government to keep property that they have not filed the proper proceedings for. The second argument is that the forfeiture provision is what gives the government the right to keep property. 18 U.S.C. 982, 18 U.S.C. 1345, 18 U.S.C. 853 E1A. None of those are there. Therefore, the government, under this argument, again, should not be allowed to keep property that they have not filed for in either the indictment or the designation sheet for criminal proceedings. My third argument, Your Honors.
What is the designation sheet?
Yep.
What is the designation sheet?
That is the sheet, Your Honor, that puts whether or not this is a original indictment, whether it's a superseding, what is the charge.
I've just never heard that term.
Yeah, it's in the record, Your Honor. At 2, right after this, the superseding indictment, and at 26, right after the superseding indictment. Now, in this third argument that I have, the government says in their reply brief to our motion for the return of property that they inadvertently omitted from the original indictment, and they say that, in pertinent part, that we forgot to mention that there was a $1,165,873 fraud in this case. They further say that Medicare paid Healthcare Creations, which is the name of the company that Ms. Phillips was working for, approximately that amount from December 3rd, 1999 to March 17, 2003. Now, they closed it down on March 4, 2003. And in the indictment, the superseding and the original, there is no mention of any of those dates in the counts. The counts are for April 29th, May 13th, and July 1st. So they don't even address the period that they allege that these monies came from in their indictment. Therefore, and it's a conjunctive statement about this monies. They're saying that all of these monies came from this period, but they don't address that in the indictment. They don't charge for those dates in the indictment. My fourth argument, Your Honors, is that in United States versus Sri Ram, 147 F sub 2nd, 914 at 947, the court held that the government may freeze only those assets which the government has proven by a preponderance of the evidence to be related to the alleged fraud. Now, we will admit that in the indictment for the five counts, they do have dates, they do have amounts. We don't concede that they should be able to keep that because they haven't filed a forfeiture provision. But for the sake of argument with respect to this prong, they do provide something there for us. So we feel, with regard to that, that they have some kind of evidence about what they're talking about. But with respect to this $1,165,000 $873, they have nothing. Zero. There's nothing there. My fifth argument, Your Honors, is that 18 U.S.C. 1345A2BI provides that what may be frozen is property which is traceable to the predicate violation, or if that property is unavailable, property of equal value. There has been no showing of any property being of equal value, or there's no showing whatsoever of any tracing to this $1
million. Since I'm going to have to ask you to speed up that final argument, because you're...
Okay, I'll finish this one, Your Honor. This court also held in my sixth argument with regard to Ms. Phillips that it's a practical reality that an asset freeze can exert extraordinary leverage against a defendant in a criminal fraud case. In this case, it's a fundamental fairness issue. They have locked up Ms. Phillips' properties, they've taken her car, and they've frozen and taken her money from her. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Messiah. Mr. Rychek?
May it please the court, counsel. I will begin by answering your question, Judge Mannion, about where in the superseding indictment the $1.165 million is mentioned. That's in the final sentence of paragraph 11 of the superseding indictment, which indicates that between December 3, 1999 and March 17, 2003, defendant Phillips defrauded Medicare out of over $1.165 million. The superseding indictment also contains a forfeiture provision pursuant to Section 982. Section 982 is the criminal forfeiture statute. It comes into play upon a conviction, and that is why the superseding indictment did not refer to Section 982 as a criminal violation. Otherwise, the superseding indictment is identical to the original indictment, again, with respect to the final paragraph of sentence of paragraph 11 and with respect to the reference to Section 982 in the list of the violations.
With regard to forfeiture, what needs to be alleged in order to in effect seize property? To what extent does it have to be probable cause? What is the...
Right, probable cause to believe that those are proceeds of the fraud alleged in the indictment, in this case, health care fraud. And contrary to Mr. Mashiach's argument, prior to the freezing of these assets, the chief judge held an evidentiary hearing regarding whether or not there was probable cause to seize these assets and concluded that there was. At that hearing, both the defendant and her husband had an opportunity to be heard, to present whatever evidence they chose to do, and to argue their case before the chief judge. And nevertheless, the chief judge concluded that these assets were traceable to the fraud. And as the district court noted, after the indictment was returned, the defendant offered nothing to show that that conclusion was erroneous. The only argument that Ms. Phillips made below was the same argument she is making here, and that is that the indictment doesn't allege that more than $48,000 was taken wrongfully from the Medicare program. But as the superseding indictment indicates, we do allege that more than $48,000 was the subject of this fraud, that it was over $1 million, and there is no dispute that the frozen assets are worth far less than $1.165 million.
What's the status of the underlying criminal charges?
Because defense counsel has asked for a number of extensions of time, the pretrial motions have not yet been filed.
I mean, this indictment was almost 2 years old now.
That's correct, Your Honor. But counsel has needed some time. The discovery in this case is quite voluminous. We produced thousands and thousands of pages of documents to defense counsel, and it takes some time to review, I guess. So that's the current posture of the case.
What percentage of these assets are frozen? Is there something less than 100% of the various assets, or are they all completely frozen? Bank accounts, real estate?
Well, first of all, with respect to the real estate, the government filed list pendants notices on two parcels of real estate, which is not a freezing of those assets.
I'm talking about mainly the money.
Right. The Chief Judge Koukouras froze 100% of one of the bank accounts and just portions of the other bank accounts because...
How did the percentages of 82.48% and 65.9%, how do those percentages arrive at?
Chief Judge Koukouras determined the proportion of the current, the amount that went into the accounts to the current balance in the accounts. He tried to take into account the fact that other clean money, perhaps from the Pure Baby company, went into those accounts. So he calculated the percentage of that those funds that were traceable to the Medicare funds.
I see. So the Pure Baby is not the subject of the investigation?
No. No. That has nothing to do with this case. Turning to Mr. Mashiach's argument regarding the ability of Ms. Phillips to represent her, have legal representation in this case. As the district court noted, there has been no showing whatsoever that Ms. Phillips cannot obtain counsel of her choice. And in fact, she has had counsel of her choice throughout this litigation, throughout this case. And there has been no showing whatsoever that she cannot otherwise pay for counsel in this case. Unless members of the panel have any additional questions, I will conclude by asking
now,
that...
This seizure is about 8 months before the indictments return?
Yes, that's right. The bank accounts were frozen prior to
that,
the...
Is that kind of an unusual gap, or is that average in these kinds of cases?
I do not know, Your Honor.
All right.
I will conclude by asking that you affirm the decision below.
All right.
Thank you.
Ms. Mashiach, your time had expired, but you may have a minute to respond.
Okay. Thank you. United States versus Kirsch's bomb, 156, Fed 3rd, 784, and 795, Seventh Circuit, 1998 case held, that the district court's attempt to enjoin the defendant's spouse and other third parties over whom the court had no personal jurisdiction is void and binding on no one. The same court held that the finding that one has a one-half interest with their spouse who is facing charges of Medicare fraud does not bind the non-party spouse nor their assets, even if the charged spouse were to lose a trial. Zenith Radio Corporation versus Hazeline, 395 U.S. 100 at 111, says that even the stipulation of one party that it was the alter ego of a non-party cannot foreclose the non-party, which has never had its day in court on the question. Mr. Phillips has not been indicted. Ms. Phillips has been indicted.
Has Mr. Phillips sought to get any of these funds?
Excuse me?
Has Mr. Phillips sought to...
Yeah, in the motion, Your Honor, that we filed for the return, we did ask for the return of his funds. There's no jurisdiction over him. And finally, Your Honors, United States Constitution Amendment, Eighth Amendment, says excessive bail should not be required, no excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishment inflicted. This is cruel and unusual punishment on both Ms. Phillips and Mr. Phillips. Mr. Phillips, they have no jurisdiction over him, first of all. He's not a party, has not been indicted. And secondly, Ms. Phillips, they're holding property of hers as if she's been convicted of fraud. They're charging her with $47,000 of fraud, yet they're holding $326,000 of her property. With all due respect, Your Honors, we ask that you return all of her property. They have no forfeiture provision, or in the alternative, that you hold them to what they've charged her with and not let them ruin this lady's life. Continue to do that. They have not charged her with everything that they're claiming. They have no allegations in the complaint other than $47,000. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Scheid. Thank you. And our thanks to all counsel. Cases taken under advisement. The court will stand in recess.